Good afternoon, and our first speaker, and I'm not going to go through all the bios, you have the information, but our first speaker is Professor Roy Green, who's the Dean of the Faculty of Business, University of Technology, Sydney. Roy.
Thank you, Cheryl, and welcome everyone. I'm delighted to be here representing the Faculty of Business at UTS, which hosts the Cosmopolitan Civil Societies Centre. Also, I'd like to acknowledge Parramatta City Council, the Westpac Foundation, Grow Sydney ACC, and of course Cheryl herself at the Centre for Social Impact at UNSW, because what a good time it is to be demonstrating the value and impact in the social economy. The circumstances could not be more propitious for non-profit and community organisations. We have had an interesting period of change, and one which will continue now in the world economy, where the masters of the universe, who were for a while the benchmark of success, are now the exemplars of excess, and indeed in many cases of abject failure. Not so much in Australia, we're pleased to be able to say, but certainly in the rest of the world. In Australia, we have been rather fortunate, I think. It isn't just a question of good management of our banks and financial institutions, because we've seen plenty of excess there as well, but we are structurally fortunate in the sense that we are a capital importing country. The opportunities for excess have not been as obvious as they have for banks and capital exporting countries. But we are now going through a period of what Joseph Schumpeter, the Austrian economist, would call creative destruction, a massive destruction of value across the world. And out of that, we won't see a collapse of capitalism, but what we will see is a regrouping. We will see a repositioning. We will see a reassessment of what is value in a modern society. And the nature of this new economy that emerges will be as much shaped by non-profit and community organisations, and indeed by the public sector, as it would be by the private sector. So this is an extraordinary opportunity. It's an opportunity not just to shape the future of your own organisations, but to shape the rest of society and the way organisations will look as we come out of what is really a world historic crisis for the international economy. It still has a long way to run. We will see some ups and downs, of course, over the next few months, but there is still immense deleveraging of financial assets to go on before we can say the crisis has been resolved and we are entering another period of growth. But that growth, I think everyone now recognises, has to be sustainable. It has to be a growth which is shared more equitably. It has to be productive and competitive, of course, but it for organisations, but it also has to be one where not just shareholders are valued, but also stakeholders. We want to, if it is to be a new form of capitalism, it has to be a more social variant with a stakeholder interest as well as a shareholder interest driving policy. Much of this is going to be built around new forms of entrepreneurship, new forms of thinking, new forms of innovation. The federal government has just issued its innovation white paper, which I would strongly commend you to read, called Powering Ideas, an Innovation Agenda for the 21st Century. For the first time in many years, we're now recognising, at least in part of the government, that the future of Australia and of other nations as well will be driven by knowledge and ingenuity, and not simply, in our case, by the fortuitous acquisition of natural endowments. This has to be reflected in our education system as well, and this is where it comes close to our hearts at UTS, we have to have new models of business education to prepare people for a different type of world economy. It won't be more of the same. We do need to engender not just ethics and corporate social responsibility, but new ways of creative thinking among our students, more questioning approaches, more critical thinking, more what universities are really designed to do. And it's quite interesting that recently a survey was taken of about 3,500 companies in the UK and US by a team from Cambridge and MIT. And what they wanted to know was, what do companies want from universities in the new millennium? And the usual assumption is, well, they want universities to be more commercial, to understand the needs of industry a bit better, prepare people to be more relevant and practical. Well, the answers that came back were quite surprising, because what companies wanted was not universities to look like them, but to look more like universities, to foster critical thinking, to foster problem solving, to foster their own autonomy and independence, because it's only from a position of autonomy and independence that they can be truly helpful to society, that they can be practically relevant, that they can in fact join with companies on a journey of discovery, as opposed to simply serving interests that exist. This was very evident actually at a meeting I attended of about 500 business deans from around the world a couple of weeks ago in the US, our AACSB accreditation body, which was a bit like a big group therapy session for American deans. Everyone was somehow convinced that they had caused the crisis of the world economy and were wondering what were they going to do about it. Well, it wasn't a bad position to have people in, because it did force a lot of deans who had been prepared up till now to continue with business as usual to rethink the way business education ought to be conducted. And one of the leaders in that process is the dean at Rotman at the University of Toronto, Roger Martin. And I don't know how many of you were able to tune in to the Alan Saunders By Design program yesterday, but if not, the great thing about the internet these days is that you can still do that by going on to the abc.net.au and look it up, because he talks there about the new approach to business education based on design thinking, not just product design, but new ways of designing business models, new ways of designing workplaces, new ways of systems integration and collaboration. Many of the products and processes that we now see emerging in the world economy are really based around intangible value, all about creativity and design and new ways of working, rather than simply technology. Most innovation spending, in fact, even in Australia, according to the ABS, is non-R&D. It's intangible. It's around organisational innovation and new ways of working, rather than new forms of technology. No doubt that will continue to be important, but it's not as important as we sometimes think it is. So in the future, we know that knowledge and ingenuity will be a driver of our competitive advantage. But I think the value of a conference of this kind is that we're asking, well, to what purpose is that knowledge and ingenuity going to be put? Is it going to be put to deriving even more sophisticated financial products for the next round of growth, or is it to generate value for the whole society? And what are the best ways of doing that, and how do we measure it? And what kind of courses should business schools be engaging in? We have an excellent community management course, for example, at UTS, but we need to do more of that in our business schools. We need to do more in the way of social entrepreneurship, more experimentation, more internships in companies to allow them to see what our students are being taught in this new approach. That's really what a conference of this kind can contribute to, understanding the value that the social economy can create, measuring it, and also how do we prepare the next generation, our students, to be able to play their part in this new economy. And so I hope that your deliberations today can contribute to these kind of objectives, and I certainly wish you well in those discussions, and thank you very much for inviting me to open it. Thank you.